This is Cape Talk. Now, we continue our look behind the scenes of the 1994 elections. From next week onwards, we're going to start throwing forward and paying attention to democratic concepts and the election process heading towards the end of May. But for this week, we just want to hold on to a few more memories of where we've come from. We are reflecting on 30 years ago last month as we look back to the first democratic elections in South Africa and reminding ourselves of how important it is to remember what was sacrificed to get there, how easily things could have gone so very differently, and how much we must not take for granted about that very special day. So we've been talking to various people who worked behind the scenes in one capacity or the other, and today we go back to the work of election monitors. Our guest is Emery Campbell, who was an election monitor in Bedford View in Johannesburg on the day, or rather days, plural, of the 94 elections. Emery, thank you so much for reaching out to us and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pippa. I was actually an observer.
You were an observer, not a monitor. Okay, do you want to maybe explain the difference between the two?
So the observers purely observe, and if they pick up anything that is untoward, you go to the monitors or the election officials.
Right.
So you don't personally get involved in anything. Anything you pick up or observe, you have to report immediately, and if it's not resolved, you have to give a written report about what you've seen and how it was handled.
Okay, thank you very much for clarifying that. Now, Emery, how did you become involved in that capacity? What got you into that role on the day?
So I'd been involved in Rotary for many years, and I think it was about 6 weeks before the election, but it was pretty close. The IEC contacted NGOs across Johannesburg, and they asked for assistance, and they contacted our district Rotary Club.
Right.
Who then came to our various clubs and members and asked us to help. And I was a member of the Broomer Lake Rotary Club, and quite a lot of us volunteered. I think out of about 20 of us volunteered, and we were positioned around that eastern, sort of northeastern part of Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And I ended up in Bedford View at the town hall.
Okay.
On the day.
So tell us a little bit about the experience on voting day, what you saw, what you felt, what the atmosphere was like around you that day.
So the Bedford View town hall is in a very villagey atmosphere, and it's a well-maintained residential area. It's on the higher end of the northeastern suburbs of Joburg, and the town hall is the kind of town hall you would get in those types of communities in that day. So we all knew each other, said hello. The people that we dealt with on a daily basis came in to vote. I had to stand near the entrance where people came in, greeted or just nodded my head. People had to show their ID documents. They had to put their hands through under that thing to read the ultraviolet light. Mm. And then they sprayed stuff on your hand, so you had to make. We were just watching that process was followed. They were ticked off as voters. They were handed a folded voting paper, or two or three. In fact, I did send you copies.
Yes.
Of the blank copies I have. And it was a very interesting day because, if you recall, Inkatha only agreed to join the election on the 19th of April.
Correct.
And the election was on the 27th. So there was a whole other group of people sitting on the one side that were busy putting the stickers on the bottom of the page. Just below, and I have it in front of me, it was just below, you had Mr. Rush Bunzi, and then you had F.W. de Klerk, and then the sticker came in below F.W. for the IFP. And then once that sticker was on, it had to have a pink stamp on it before it could go into the process. And we had to make sure that all those folded ballot papers that were given had the sticker on and was given to
sure.
the person correctly. But it was it all worked incredibly smoothly, and there was a huge calm around it. The irony of it, which I was thinking about yesterday, knowing I'm going to speak to you today,
yeah.
is that diagonally opposite the Bestview Town Hall was a local a sort of like a pie and takeaway place, and it actually belonged to Christine Darby Lewis.
Oh my goodness.
Who was Clive Darby Lewis's wife.
Oh, how bizarre.
in later on. It was just one of those bizarre things which, when you were standing out on the pavement during breaks or whatever, it did sort of ring home with you. However, in the room itself, it was really just like being at an election in a small town. There weren't too many queues, mm-hmm. and it was all very sedate through the day. And until about 3 o'clock, when these Patco buses started arriving. And what had happened is, in other areas of the Germiston voting district, mm-hmm. they had run out of ballot papers, and the queues were still endless, so they bussed them in. And that is when I, as an observer and a 30-something-year-old South African, for the first time saw what this election meant to the other side of the population that I wasn't exposed to every day. And we really needed to help people, because the first part was just so easy. And the second part was the excitement within these voters. They'd been standing in lines wherever they'd been bused from. And they were kind of intimidated by the goings on. And you just had this feeling that you had to make them trust you, that this is right, and that we are here to help you. Because it was very different to what we'd experienced in the morning. But once we got our rhythm, and we had translators there, and once we had our rhythm going, we proceeded. It went much slower, because those voters needed more guidance and more help. They'd never voted before. But
I just wanted to interrupt and say, in case anybody's coming into this conversation midway through and doesn't know who we're talking to, our guest is Emmerie Campbell, a Cape Talk listener who contacted us to say, yes, I was an election observer in Bedford View in Johannesburg in April 1994, describing this tale of 2 days, really, two halves of a day. The first half, the experience of voting in the community that she knew, and in a well-to-do area where everybody had voted before for the most part, and then suddenly the influx of voters being brought in from other stations where papers had run out or queues were too long, people for whom it was their very, very first opportunity to go and cast their ballot. And Emmerie, it's quite moving to hear you recognising that difference and the importance of the event. And remembering the significance of that moment is why we're doing these interviews, that there's a whole new generation of voters who will be able to cast their votes for the first time in the coming election, for whom that sense of the significance of the act of voting might perhaps not be as deeply rooted as it is for those of us who were around in 1994. Do you feel that? How do you feel going into the elections at the end of May? Do you have a sense that it is still taken seriously and given the sort of gravitas that it should be?
You know, Papa, I think you need to go back to what happened before that election. But actually, there was so much in Johannesburg itself, and in that the eastern suburbs of Johannesburg and Soweto and Sebokeng and all those massacres and unrest and third forces, etc., that happened. And to put you into the next phase, later that afternoon, they announced that there would be a second day of voting because of the delays. And we were asked, some of us were asked, if we could please go to the Denver hostel the next day.
Yeah.
Now, the Denver hostel is between the mine dumps just below the M1 in Johannesburg. And there had been unrest in all those hostels. So I was a little bit stressed out about it. And two of the guys that was in my Rotary Club that were with me said, no, we're going to get a police escort. It's going to be fine. You have to be fine. And there will be whatever. But the issue for me was that what we had taken just as an absolute normal part of life, and our parents instilled in us, you find a party to support, this is what we think, this is where you go and vote. It was an absolute new experience for people that had no idea. I'm not sure how many of those people could actually read on that sheet all the names. They recognized the photographs a lot. Mm-hmm. And I saw that day. And I'm just wondering what's going to happen this year when there's pages and pages of who's going to find what.
Of how many parties are contesting. Yeah, interesting comment. Emery, I mean, obviously for you, a huge wake-up call, as you said, not to take for granted what we've accepted as part and parcel of daily life that was so very, very different and important for so many other people on that day, and also taking for granted the sort of the ease of the familiarity with the going through the motions of voting. Do you think we've done enough to educate the next generation of voters about what that process entails?
I think the process today, it's more, I think that we knew what voting was, but we didn't know, those of us that were privileged, we knew what voting was, but we didn't know what was lying ahead in 1994. So it was with a certain sense of, okay, this is happening now, move along, do it. Okay, and we didn't pack our groceries and worry about the country coming to an end. But there were people that thought when after the election, everything's going to change. Today, 30 years later, and this was a really, one of the things that there was a lot of foreign observers and monitors at these elections. Both, I saw them at Bedford View and at Denver Hostel. And they came from Europe and all over the world. And they had a discussion that I heard because they were standing behind me. And they said, in a situation like ours, where you go from a kind of a, when you move from the type of government we had into a democracy, it takes 25 to 30 years for people to vote for the country versus the cause. And I remember standing there listening and going, oh, that's a long time. Like, that's not going to be my problem. I was in my late 30s, and when you asked me this question today, which you did 5 minutes ago, I'm going, those 30 years are today.
Yeah.
And what did those people say 30 years ago? And in some way, if you listen to the polls and you listen to the feeling of the nation, you get the feeling now, and for this election, that maybe they are now going to vote for the country. And it's words that have stuck in my brain for 30 years.
Voting for the country, not the cause.
Yes.
Yeah.
And these, I remember it was a Dutch lady who said this. They were having this discussion because they had been observers in other elections where whatever regime they were having had converted into a democracy. And it didn't affect me, but I was like thinking, oh, I'm going to be like close to 70 then. And it didn't really matter. And today I'm sitting here going, it's here, and it's happening now. Do I ever think that everybody going to that election is far wiser, has been experiencing the last 30 years, and maybe what that Dutch lady from Holland said is going to happen this year?
Emery Campbell, thank you so much for sharing those recollections with us of working as an election observer in the Bedford View and aligned area, adjacent areas is the word I'm looking for, back in the 1994 elections. Emery, thank you very much for joining us today, and I hope you hold on to, it looks like from the photographs Emery sent us of her election monitor tag, and the capsule looks pristine. She's obviously looked after them and kept those mementos of the day safely somewhere alongside that very special memory of the ballot paper itself with the IFP sticker stuck along the bottom of the page, perfectly lined up so that the face is aligned with the rest of the vote voters on the ballot and the party logo, etc. And it's such a stirring reminder of you know, how close we came to see stuck on Mangosuthu Buthelezi's face underneath F.W. de Klerk and Amitchandra Bunji and the rest above him in that list, to remember how close we came to not being able to have that free and fair election of April 1994. Emery, thank you again for your time this afternoon, and may your experience of voting this time round be peaceful and give you that same sense of connection with fellow South Africans across the many things that divide us.